Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. It's lovely to have you here, you beautiful things. My name is Marcus, and the three men that will be with me today are Jim Campbell.
Hello.
Pete Donaldson.
Genki desu ka?
And Luke Moore.
All right.
How are you, chappies?
Good,
right,
thanks.
Then, we have an opening question provided by Simon Bienkowski. And he says...
Sounds like an FBI agent.
He is, I think. Okay. We've just uncovered him.
Don't think he'd be emailing us.
Get a new line of work. Now, he says, I couldn't help but think that Michael Ballack never got a proper send-off at Chelsea, or one he deserves. This is perhaps due to injury, of course.
Yeah. Fair.
He said, if the Ramblers were injured or for some reason missed their final game or big send-off, what would they do to make sure the fans remembered them and milk their high praise from the fans? He says, personally, I would steal all the seats in the ground so the bastards would have to give me a standing ovation and have fireworks and banners ready to unfold and go off when the match got to the 19th minute, because that would be my strip number for the next home game. Very specific.
He's thought about this a lot.
Yeah, but you've not got the point, Simon. Jimbo.
Well, what I would do, is I think I'd sort of plot a return to the club. I'd keep going back to games on the sly, wait for a really sort of euphoric moment, and then at my own expense, because I'd be a rich footballer, I'd just throw like a massive party on the pitch afterwards. Just get all the fans involved. One of those things where you just, you know, you're handing out bottles of things to the stewards. You go, nah, come on, nah, be all right. And, you know, people just sort of flout the rules in those situations.
The stewards would never
Everyone's
stop
on a bit
you.
Of a high.
Exactly. Big fans of the club anyway. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I'd have a big old, probably a banquet as well. I'd have like a hog roast. I'd go old
it's
school.
It's a good idea.
That's what I'd do. They'd never forget that.
It's encroaching.
No. Yeah.
Would you only do it once, or would you do it a few times?
I don't think you could ever repeat that. Cheapen it.
Presumably you'd be, in your own sort of mind, you'd be an Arsenal player, though.
Yeah.
So would you provide a different array of hummus and stuff?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Carrot sticks.
Slicing up Gunnosaurus.
Yeah. Hey.
Gunnosaurus would be involved. Oh, that's how you get on the pitch.
Yeah.
Gunnosaurus.
That's a dream. There's two dreams realised.
Firing out t-shirts from a cannon 1 minute as Gunnosaurus. Next minute you're firing a massive fat rave.
Well, an early contender for the points, mainly through default because you're the first one. Pete.
Well, much like the band Monster Magnet, I don't remember.
I remember them.
I think at one point I may be libelling them massively, but I think. I think they spiked the water supply with LSD and at a local concert, and everyone went apeshit. I'd basically do that because people
football fans always drink water.
Well, every single bit of water that is used in the stadium will be spiked with horrendous amounts of LSD.
Spike the clouds, everyone, just in case.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's off their face. Everyone's just going wild, and because I mean, people don't attend sort of testimonials that well. It's always
depends
a little bit
player,
of a disappointment, depending on which player it is. I can't imagine I'd get a full turnout, but because I am bad at football. But and then I'd so I'd just basically endanger everyone's lives.
Can I make an amendment to mine?
Yeah.
In a sort of,
don't add LSD.
No. Like in an homage to, you know, a classic send off, I would kidnap Keegan.
A new Keegan would be going to be.
And have him helicoptered in. It'd be the first he knew about any of it. He'd be in the sort of kit that he left in and stuff. Yeah. He'd actually try and recreate it so that he thought he'd it was that moment it. Happening again.
He just, as long as he's helping, he'd be happy.
Yeah.
Nice one, but I'm still going to Pete's.
Luke, go to mine first.
Okay, yeah,
we'll all go to Pete's later.
That'd be going for ages. Well, it's well known amongst all the football fraternity that the death of the sweeper position in football has meant I never fully got a professional career.
That's That's right.
That's the only real reason. So, but in an ideal world, I'd be known as the ultimate sweeper of all time. So what I would do?
You'd clean up after everybody.
Well, no, I would give everyone in that came into the stadium at Fratton Park, obviously where it'd be
a broom.
To wave when I played. Yeah. When I touched the ball, they could wave the broom, and then I'd set out like a proper testimonial where I'd scored a penalty, that sort of stuff.
Mm. Is it safe to arm the people of Portsmouth?
Well, you like this. What I'd then do at the end of it is I'd make them, when in Rome, sort of go out onto the streets and trash the entire city and then use their brooms to sweep up. It comes full circle.
Yeah,
that's what I'd do.
That's a very good answer. I would just quite simply hire John Pansil, and I'd just leap on his back, piggyback, and we'd have a honour.
Yeah, how long for?
As many as he can.
As long as he can last. Yeah. Until the last spectator had left.
Just come on, John, one more.
Yeah, which would be about 8:30 that evening.
Yeah.
Look, how much damage can 14 fans?
Oh. Add 1,000 or two onto that. Well,
I saw the attendance at the weekend. Yeah.
14,000 it was.
Yeah, 14,000.
Do you know what? It's the thought that's gone into this that's going to win him the points. It's Luke Moore.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
In your face.
I've not won one all season, I don't think.
I've done you.
Up yours. No, sir.
Buck up yours.
Do you know what Graham Souness once said? A lot of the players who don't perform won't look in the mirror. I look for someone to blame.
Yeah, but Sven-Göran Eriksson says his best players don't beat themselves up after the game.
Yeah.
All right. Now, if Sven says that, then it's gospel.
Apparently, that bloke from Monster Magnet used to colour in his beard with a biro. Not a biro, like a felt tip pen.
Why?
Because it went all grey. Oh. He wanted it to look black.
That is really amazing.
Yeah,
use some just rubbish, men like Luis Figo.
Yeah.
Right then, Premier League time. Let's start with Stoke 1, Manchester United 1. The first time Manchester United haven't won a game ever. Incredible, isn't it? And Stoke could have won that.
Yeah. Less Crouch was very profligate at the end, wasn't he? Had a couple of good chances that he blazed. Sort of high and wide.
They missed Rooney, did they?
Yeah, I think so. I read an interesting fact, which was that's the 21st game in a row that Manchester United have been televised. I think that must be a record. So the next game they're playing, I think, is not going to be televised. Next league game. I think I've had 21 games in a row televised up to that point.
Don't get a season ticket.
No, there's no point. Yeah. Literally no point.
It's kind of like, but even on like Match of the Day, you watch it, and certainly is it in your spot. We've not been in the first two matches all season, I don't think.
Who, Newcastle?
Yeah. Mm.
And you're fourth.
We're fourth for once. But it's a little bit disappointing because it's just been dominated by Manchester United and Chelsea, really. Even Man City aren't getting that much of a look in, as I recall.
The Crouch goal was definitely a foul. Well, Ferguson said that he fouled quite a lot.
Ferguson's foul quite a lot. Most Crouch goals are foul.
I can remember a year ago when Crouch was saying that he gets bad treatment. Or was it Redknapp saying it? One of the two were saying it when he was at Spurs, that he gets bad treatment because he's so tall. But he does naturally lean on defenders an awful lot.
I think you would, wouldn't you?
Well, he gets away with it, so I can't see why not, you know.
Must be hard carrying that big old frame. You'd want a little bit of arrest at times.
It was a good game. It's actually a measure of how far Stoke have come. It's a real test. I mean, to go away and try and get a win, and Stoke,
for anyone.
Yeah,
and you look at the sort of blistering form United are in, and even that is considered a sort of very stern test, which I didn't really pass. You know, you're right. It's credit to
De Gea. Made some great saves.
He did. He really showed his class in that game.
Onto the bar, was it?
Yeah. That was an absolute pile driver of a shot.
A star is born.
Well, that's right.
Where do they find these players?
You see, I think Pulis at the start, when he just ran up to Alex Ferguson and gave him a big hug.
Like a schoolboy, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was really excited.
He's loving it.
He's like a returning father from the war.
Hello, son. I wish Pulis wouldn't wear a cap. I wish he'd wear a flat cap.
I've often thought.
It would suit him much more.
I've tried to wrap my brains every time I see a manager on the touchline. Like Aaron Cole loves a bit of this with the shorts and the old tracky top on. Wear a suit. You can't be doing anything.
Neil Warnock's the worst.
Yeah, he wears that.
Some of them wear boots.
Yeah.
Some of them wear boots.
Warnock is ready to come on.
Yeah.
And that's the way I like the Houghton sort of made the point when he was at Newcastle. His father told him to start wearing a suit because people wouldn't take him seriously.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
And I think there's no reason for you to be wearing a...
Well, the coaches can take the warm-ups and stuff. There's no need for them to be involved in that.
Well, you never see a manager kick a ball.
No,
unless it comes to him on the touchline.
Yeah. I don't mind the German manager, Yogi Love.
I'll tell you, man. Oh, the old V-neck sweater.
Yeah.
But he makes his assistant wear it as well.
Yeah, brilliant.
I'll tell you always, you look sharp on the touchline. Souness.
Yeah.
Always look different class on the touchline.
That's true.
They should wear, like, suit versions of the kits.
Yeah, that'd be
good. Now you're talking.
That'd be good.
The Newcastle one would be different class.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I don't like the idea of... of managers that have suits, but they've got the crest sewn into them. I don't think it looks very good. I think it looks cheap. What you mean.
Yeah.
The England suits always have that.
Yeah.
Or when a sweat Chelsea patch suits. Goes through the suit. That's impressive.
That is poor. That is really poor.
And you see it a lot. Yeah, going back to the Stoke game, I don't know how this happened, but it was the sort of first game of the season where you get that sort of all winter's drawing in. It's all a bit cosy and warm, blackcurranty. Watching it on the telly, I don't know if that's good or bad. I think it's bad.
It's
bad.
It's blackcurranty.
It's September. So
it's inevitable. James. It's inevitable.
Nope. I'm not giving up on the summer coming back.
Manchester United beat Leeds in the League Cup, of course, 3-0 away. Mm. Michael Owen scoring a couple. Did you hear that their team hotel came under attack from Leeds fans later that evening? 7 police vans had to surround the hotel, and Ferguson said it reminded him of the film Zulu starring Michael Caine.
Leeds fans.
Well, they're armed with spears, weren't they?
Yeah. They're all wearing the red coats.
Okay, right, that's it,
Leeds fans. Bloody fans.
I just don't understand that rivalry, and I never have, to be quite frank.
Well, it's a Lancashire-Yorkshire rivalry. It's War of the Roses. I know.
And it's really aggressive.
And that was the 16th century. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, forget about it. Forget about it.
Football fans living in the past, shocking. Right.
They're 40 miles apart. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, there wasn't that is a huge amount of scenes. Coverage for that. And that is shocking behaviour.
You're saying United should be on television even that?
I'm talking about the incident. It wasn't sort of reported.
I didn't know about it until you mentioned it earlier.
Kay Burley was up there with Sky News. I love it.
It's just bizarre.
They won. They drew at Stoke. Chelsea won, and Torres. I told you he was back.
Yeah,
and then he had enough. And good
demons are back as well.
Just wants a quiet life.
When is this going to balance out for him to become a good player?
It's like there's some sort of battle for his soul going on between good and evil that he's got no part in.
Yeah,
he's a one man too good, too bad, isn't he?
he's the Exorcist. The film The Exorcist. He's been possessed. Yeah, and needs to be exorcised.
One thing I noticed about when Torres got sent off, I forget who he tackled. Gower, was it?
Yeah, Gower. Yeah.
He obviously went down, and I think it was Morelles. Just kicked the ball straight up, like really intentionally kicked the ball off his head when he
fell. It's funny.
Like, he never smashed it, of course, but he meant that.
Yeah, that's about order, isn't it? Unsportsmanlike behaviour.
Yeah. Well, it was like he was trying to ruffle his hair, but couldn't be bothered to lean over, so I just deal with the ball.
To kick him.
I'll help him up by kicking the ball.
I thought that. Chelsea have not really hit top gear, and it's true what people say about them being in a bit of transition and the staff with the new manager, and a lot has been made of the Lampard situation, but they do look a bit suspect at the back. I was looking, they haven't really conceded an awful lot of goals, but they look very, very sort of vulnerable from set pieces, especially. There was no one around Williams when he scored that header.
Well, that's right,
And that's so uncharacteristic of Chelsea,
isn't it? As well, straight after.
I mean, did you see Lampard, like, he chinned a steward, then he exploded, exploded down the touchline and did a wee on the floor.
I think he sharpshooted a dog on the way out.
So the talk was that when McEachran came on instead of him,
he marched down the tunnel. 83rd minute, he went, well, sod this.
But he didn't leave, because he's definitely stayed there and he warmed down with the rest of them, because I saw that.
Yeah, I don't know what the reasons were. I mean, it was at the end of the game, there's 7 minutes left, they've won the game already. McEachran came on, Lampard obviously wasn't coming on.
I don't want to be harsh on him, because I don't fully know the facts, and that's not stopped me before, but he is 33 now. He's going to need to start. He's not going to play every game anymore. He's not going to play every game in the system where Vyas Barış wants to move the ball very quickly from defence to attack. It's not really Lampard's style, is it? And what he needs to do is reinvent himself as like an Essien or something.
Fulham will have him.
Maybe
he will move.
I mean, he is that age. If you just sort of look at someone like Drogba, who's pretty much, well, he is the same age, isn't he? 33
Same age as Vyas Barış as well.
How sort of Drogba, he doesn't mind coming on, you know what I mean? And he's stopped a civil war.
To be fair though, Lampard is remarably fit for his age. He's not an average 33.
Think of the servant he's been for Chelsea. I think I'm right in saying that this weekend, or certainly this season, is the first time he's not been selected to start when fit for 8 years.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by that.
He's a phenomenal record.
He's a victim of his own success. You know what I mean? Chelsea are a top three side, and you can't.
And he's been a big part of that.
So you can't have players at that age in that sort of system.
I wouldn't imagine he would go. I think that. Well, no, what would he go though?
But is it the
if
media,
he's not getting football.
But is it the media dressing up to be something? Is it?
I'm sure
AVB and Lampard have chatted about it, and he said to him, he's not just going to have not picked him. He said to him, look, you're 33 now. Here's what I want to be doing. I still want you around. You're very important to us, but you're not going to play.
I don't think it would be in Lampard's character to do that.
He's a very hard bloke,
as he proved in South Africa.
Yeah, I think the treatment of him in the press is quite harsh, making it kind of sound like he's thrown his toys out of the pram, and clearly he hasn't.
And then those same people who report that will then moan they don't get access to players.
Yeah.
And And because the players are too scared to talk to him because this sort of thing happens.
Yeah. One thing I did like about that game, we mentioned it, Ashley Williams when he scored the goal.
He loved it.
He really enjoyed it. And it was.
You never see that, do you?
No, you don't. It's a consolation, but he was really, really pleased. Mm. And so were the fans. It was a lovely moment of, oh, brilliant, we scored at the bridge.
You know, exactly, yeah. Properly living a dream.
Against one of the greatest goalkeepers of his generation.
Exactly.
It's just kind of like, well, I've scored against him.
Great header as well.
But isn't that the difference between some sides? You know, because... They should take encouragement from that, scoring a goal at Stamford Bridge. You know, okay, they've been beat 4-1.
Well, Chelsea won't want to concede it, so it still counts.
Yeah.
Chelsea, the last thing, they want to keep a clean sheet, they want to win that game 3-4-0. They don't want to patronise Swansea too much, but I mean, they work really hard to get in the Premier League, they should enjoy it. That's absolutely right.
Now, we mentioned Drogba there. Did you see he flew out to Oktoberfest hours after the match?
Looking good in Lederhosen.
Yeah, class. Oh. Him and the boy from Wigan, Steve Gahuri, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he's a big old unit. Yeah,
Someone else there as well, wasn't there?
Mad Jens.
Was Mad Jens there?
They were shaking hands. They've never met up, but they happened to be. I'll say happened. Clearly, Jens was always going to be at Oktoberfest, and if Drogba was there,
that's great stuff.
You
could tell a real athlete, muscle man, when they look pretty decent in Lederhosen.
Yeah. I heard they bumped into each other, Jimbo.
No.
So lovely scenes at Oktoberfest. Shall we fly out there after?
Let's go next year. We're going to see a Bundesliga game. Yeah.
Good thinking. Right, Manchester City 2-0. Balotelli. Slightly fortuitous with the deflection, but nice to see him giving Mancini a hug after scoring, wasn't it?
They get on well. I'm pretty sure they've always got on well. I mean, I think Mancini's the sort of manager that Balotelli appears to want to play for. I mean, that's a big part of the reason he went there. You know?
Mancini turns around, he's got a cock drawn on his back. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Unlucky.
He's got a dart in the back of his head. I'll tell you who was excellent. David Silva and how good
again.
I mean, that set up
standout player of the season so far.
Four assists in 3 matches or something.
Yeah. If you had him in your fantasy team, you'd want like an extra few points for assists like that. He's so good.
Yeah. Everton were almost like consciously sharing bookings.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, Mark for 10 minutes. I've been booked. Someone else got booked. Yeah. It's only when
I love that though.
It's only when he went a goal down that to sort of chase the game. He got free and he just showed what he could do. It reminds me of when I played Sunday League and we had this guy playing for us called Jason, who was absolute different level. He's so good, and the team we played against in this Sunday League game obviously cottoned on to that.
Yeah.
So they put this young lad on him to man mark him. And about like 75 minutes gone, this Jason guy was subbed off, and the guy followed him off. He had to actually say to him, "No, I'm being subbed off now, mate." And he was like, "Alright, cheers." Right back on. It's a bit like that, you know.
It's interesting as well because Everton set up to stifle City, and this is something quite new for them, and they dealt with it really well. They just kept plugging away, just they were patient, and eventually their game paid off.
It's
a mode of playing they're going to have to get used to, and they pass that test very well.
Yeah, very much so.
I think you're right, Jim. I don't think they resorted to trying anything different. They lump forward. I'll tell you who's been really good and consider himself pretty unlucky to not be playing for England is Michael Richards. He's really come on as a ultra modern fullback. He attacks all the time.
Deserves his place in that side.
How is he
not getting a call?
We've got Smalling and stuff, and for some reason Smalling's been given the nod ahead of him. I think Smalling's a great player.
Yeah.
But I think Richards has shown, and he's played right back for an awful long time as well, compared to Smalling, who's a bit more of a centre back, I think.
Well, maybe when Capello, if England qualify, presumably they will, then he'll bring in some of the youngsters. So hopefully that'll be the case. Arsenal, better.
Yeah, so huge weight lifted from the shoulders of myself and every Arsenal fan.
It was like,
sadly, including Piers Morgan.
that was
the one consolation.
You'll find a cloud, that's a good silver lining. I'll tell you what it was like for me. Flickered on back to watch my favourite comedy show, and it's been replaced by some sort of documentary. It's fine to watch, but it didn't make me laugh.
Yeah. David Wieter sent off Pete.
Yeah, well, beautiful that man. Will happen.
his nose and chin are trying to meet.
Yeah.
It's a really odd shape.
He looks like his head would be sort of like a bit like a teapot,
his face looks like a man's face in the back of a spoon.
Yeah. I think we're all agreed there.
Confusing.
Now then, Petey, Newcastle. Demba Ba hat-trick up to fourth, Champions League.
That first goal was Shearer-esque. It was brilliant. Yeah. Held off the player,
You've done it. You've jinxed him. That's it. He's finished.
Yeah, I thought he played really well. I think it's a little bit disingenuous to blame Ramadan and his fasting for
that's a bit slow.
Well, I think if a finely tuned sportsman like a Premiership footballer, it is going to affect them not being able to eat, but I think there's certain degrees of players who just sort of relax things like that on match days and stuff like that. But yeah, obviously it's very much the North East press sort of going, what's this all about then?
Do you know how strict he is?
He is very strict. He doesn't eat at all. I think he must do, crying out loud. You've got to put away so many so many calories to and so much hot protein and stuff to manage yourself as a as a prime.
I think Newcastle deserve a lot of credit. I think that the sort of policy they've got of signing these sort of youngish players and they're not. I mean, they've had a reasonably easy start. I mean, if you look at say Newcastle's position and someone like Bolton's position, Bolton's a bit of a false position because they had such a difficult start in set of fixtures.
It's all down to the defence for me. They've sneaked up there simply because they've not let a lot of goals in, and there have been a lot of spankings, like I said last week. We've got Wolves at the weekend, eminently winnable, which I think is...
Well, in terms of shots on target conceded, I think Newcastle are the best in the league, I think. It's decent.
Ben Arthur back now as well. I mean, obviously it's going to take him a while to get to the form.
He's another one of his fasting capable of, but obviously he was injured.
Bit of Tiote and Kibaye, you having that in the middle?
Kibaye's looking good as well. Brilliant.
I think Barr was a steal as well. I really did, and that's a really good sign. A lot of people were saying Newcastle look a bit light up front and seeming to just sort of discount him, but...
Well, he's off and running now.
Showing what a good player he is.
Santon's back at the in a week, I think, as well, because he just had some fluid drained off his knee. He's a player and a half.
Well, Mark Ashley just needed a bit of time to turn it round. QPR scored their first home goal this season, a fortunate one. One all draw with Villa. Traore getting sent off, and really irking Warnock, saying he's stupid, let everyone down, and he'll fine him as much as he can.
He constantly looks like an upset dinner lady.
Yeah, he does.
Like a pink sort of face.
Yeah. He also praised Traore in that rant as well. He didn't entirely just rip him.
Yeah, true. He still learned from it, and that's
exactly. Yeah, he said, "Oh, he's a fantastic player." Blah blah blah. Yeah.
I couldn't really tell what he was getting at because he was sort of going, and the referee, he's young, but he'll have to learn. And then he liked the referee, then he didn't like the referee, and then I was confused.
I thought the referee had quite a good game.
I thought he had a good game as well.
The penalty was a penalty.
Yep,
there's no doubt about that.
Great shout.
You can't tug shirts in the penalty area. No. Simple as that.
Or anywhere.
Ray Wilkins wasn't having it, but I was at loggerheads with Ray over that point.
Yeah, why is it okay to tug a shirt? It makes you fall over.
Yeah, exactly.
There's this real sort of like macho bravado. Oh, that ain't a foul. That doesn't hurt. It doesn't matter if it hurts.
Yeah,
the point is you're impending someone from scoring.
It's a thing where the stress points are the arms, the midriff, and the neck, which is a fair old whack of your torso. And if you get pulled on that, you're going down. You know?
Absolutely. Did you see Anton Ferdinand trying to put off Barry Bannon? So when all the furore around the penalty, Bannon spotted the penalty up, and he's going to take it. Anton Ferdinand was all up on his grill going, "You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it."
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, very unsportsmanlike. I didn't like to see it.
No. Did he need to go toilet?
But I thought, I thought Villa defended after they went sort of a goal up. But they started off poorly, but they defended really compactly. They did well, and I also thought Richard Dunn got a bit of bad press for that own goal. I couldn't do much about it.
No.
But it's weird for Dunn. There's so many of his own goals. It's like he couldn't really do much about it. It's same with Carragher, the pair of them, because they're actually quite similar players. It's just the nature of just chucking yourself around like that.
Yeah,
that's why it's going to happen. I'm surprised Terry doesn't get more.
Well, Gary Neville, it happened about a minute after Gary Neville gave him man of the match as well, and Neville was trying to sort of back himself out of the corner going, he's been really unlucky.
Oh, yes,
it's your fault, Neville.
Yeah. Right, let's go down to the Championship. Nottingham Forest have won against Watford away 1-0.
Lee Camp was just insanely fantastic.
I thought Forest were poor. I thought Watford had loads of chances. They should.
Watford aren't going great themselves.
No, the goal, Ishmael Miller's goal, was like the ultimate Route 1 goal. It's like a sort of nod to Wimbledon, sort of back in the day.
He said, poorly defended.
Jimmy Floyd, Hasselbank's one of the coaches there at Forest, and he just sort of said, if you can't learn from Jimmy, you can't learn from anybody, he said.
they had so many chances, Forest. Watford. Yeah, I thought the goal was really bad defending. Watford are struggling, but they've got a much different sort of expectations this season than someone like Forrester.
They do.
And Marvin Sordell was one of the best players on the pitch. I thought he played very well. He tore Portsmouth apart last season. Actually, he was excellent. And they've lost their top goal scorer.
What about Pompey though?
Yeah, that was good. Blackpool started well, but Pompey got a late winner. Good goal as well.
94th minute.
See, great goal.
Volley, top corner.
Lovely job.
What was going on with that free kick? Did you see that?
There was a throw-in.
No, there was a free kick where two Pompey players stood in front of the ball. The guy taking the free kick, I'm not sure who it was, he went to do it, but as if he hadn't noticed, they were just literally standing in front of it. They had a little pretend argument, then two of them moved and he just spanked it. It's like proper like amateur dramatics attempt at like tricking Blackpool into just sort of switching off. It was hilarious.
I'm not going to find you, that sounds brilliant. I've not seen it.
Awful bit of defending from Blackpool for the goals.
Oh, yeah, just big throw in, just bounced in the area.
Completely unmarked.
Yeah.
Smack.
Marvellous. Now, we've got to go to League Two because we spoke about Plymouth last week. Well, they won 2-0 against Macclesfield at home. Yeah. I think we're all pleased to see that.
Yeah, good winner start for Carl Fletcher.
Unless somebody likes Macclesfield.
Yeah. Can I just mention Solano's free kick? Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. He got another one.
Rolling back the years.
From downtown.
There, was it a 2-1 they won?
I'm not sure what the final score was.
Cardiff are 1-2-1.
His free kick was magnificent.
That's what you're going to get.
From the beautiful boy.
36, from the beautiful boy.
36.
Another sort of just I don't want to finish on too much of a sour note, but another annoying thing is the fact there's so many empty seats in every game you see on television.
Yeah, but you get that in the Premier League now.
Charlton had a little offer on where I think they're giving tickets for a fiver and they're 22,000, which is good for League One.
Yeah.
But everywhere you look, empty seats. Yeah. They're so depressing.
Get the school kids in.
Yeah, exactly.
come December, there'll be no matches on, like every year, it seems, lately.
Yeah, exactly.
In the lower leagues. I go home and try and catch a Hartlepool match and there's no chance because it's always ruined.
Now it's time to go to the continent. It's Serie A. Claudio Ranieri's new Inter coach, and he got off to a winning start, 3-1 away to Bologna. Gasperini was sacked after 3 months.
Does seem an odd move to me, getting Ranieri. And I mean, he's a lovable man, but he's not a winner, is he?
You don't reckon?
I think he's a good firefighting manager.
He is a firefighting manager, but that's exactly it, isn't it? For a club like Inter, you want to be looking ahead at that. I know they've got a lot of problems.
But Inter have never replaced Mourinho. They've had Benitez and they had Leonardo.
I'll tell you exactly who they've had.
Go on then.
Javier Zanetti's played under at Inter. Bianchi, Suarez, Hodgson, Castellini, Simone, Lucescu, Castellini, Hodgson, Lippi, Tardelli, Cooper, Verdelli, Taccaroni, Mancini, Mourinho, Benitez, Leonardo, Gasperini and Ranieri. At Inter.
That's Zanetti's post-war managers.
I was going to say.
But one thing is interesting is that Gasperini was essentially sacked for not really working out what he was trying to do.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And they bring in Ranieri in, who's the tinker man.
Yeah, he's never worked it out.
Yeah, I know what you mean. He still isn't
sure what sport to play.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I'm not saying that Ranieri's a bad manager. He's not. Of course he's not. But I just don't think he's what Inter need.
Maybe not, but I think they need someone who's perhaps a big name, who's done it in Italy before. You know, he had a decent time at Roma. Okay, you know, I think he was acquitted or sacked in February of this year. But, you know, he's the type of name that people will think that the fans will probably get behind him rather than someone like Gasperini, I would have thought. Because he's done all right in Serie A, and who else are they going to get in? this is the crux of the issue.
Zanetti, get him in.
Yeah, player manager. Yeah. Player manager. Milan won against Zenit, but it's Juventus and Udinese who are top.
Yeah, Milan have had a bit of a dodgy start where they've got an awful lot of injuries. Yeah. You've seen their injury
list? Oh, my goodness.
Their injury list, I think, is Cassano, Zlatan, Pato, Butting.
Gattuso,
Flamini's.
Yeah, Ambrosini,
well.
I think, is on there as well.
Yeah, did you see Seedorf's goal?
Oh, yeah. Didn't mean it, though. It's a cross.
Absolute beauty. Yeah, but he's just. What a man.
Who are you to question Seedorf on that?
Yeah.
Well, he told me it was a cross.
in an interesting bit of modesty from Seedorf, not expected of him.
good old Seedorf. Right then. In La Liga, Real Betis atop. It was Valencia, of course, but Sevilla beat them 1-0. It was a shame for Valencia. They started very well, obviously nearly beat Barcelona
super
last
game,
week.
That was, wasn't it?
It was Fabregas who scored late on, I think. That was his goal in his fourth consecutive match for Barcelona, which was a record for a player at the new Camp. He failed to score against Atletico Madrid when they beat them 5-0.
Did you see the Atletico Madrid game? Not for the first time this season, Barcelona are now forcing own goals on teams as well. They're not content with just scoring their own. And is Messi getting a bit tubby?
No, come on.
It seems that way. Is he thinking, let's see if I can be this good and fat?
That would be class, though.
Really, imagine if he got really like John Parkin big and he was still just amazing.
Isn't that known as the Ronaldinho?
Yeah.
Ronaldo.
It's getting a little bit boring.
It is, isn't it? It seems really churlish to say that, but it is just so predictable.
Well, it's clearly not, but what I would argue is I did go on to FootyTube looking for the Real match and I ended up just watching 10 times the David Beckham cross to Ronaldo scoring a fantastic volley, and I watched it 10 times. Turned off the computer, went and did something else, to be quite frank. So there we go.
Jobs are good.
The first thing about it, though, the reason I say that is because 5-0, Atletico are a good side.
Yeah.
Barcelona have dropped points though in two
Messi's
games.
Messi's had his haircut, let's not forget. So he's trying to keep it interesting.
Well, he's keeping his weight down, so he knows he's putting a bit on, so he's taking some off in an easy way.
But the subtext to this is that the odds are stacked in the favour of Barcelona and Real Madrid to such an extent that the others can't compete, can they?
Yeah. Well, financially, it's
ridiculous. We've championed Barcelona, and we've loved watching them, and we've bigged them up massively over the last few years. But yeah, exactly. But it is getting a little bit sort of tedious.
Well, I think, this shows it. You know, Valencia are the team that people are hoping could be the ones to do anything. But
well, maybe Leo Fatty will take his foot off the gas.
I'm not on board with this. Are you on board with it?
Let him do it.
Okay.
Valencia, they didn't even secure a sponsor for this season, so they put the club's Twitter feed name on their shirts.
Yeah,
instead.
I saw that, yeah.
It's not just Valencia, though, is it? I think it's Atletico, Sevilla, and even Villarreal as well. And there's big signing.
These are huge clubs.
It reminds me when I went to see Grandmaster Flash, and instead of having like a crazy sort of VJing incredible backdrop, he just had this PowerPoint slide that just kept on going, "The new Grandmaster Flash website coming soon, 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 soon." And I thought, that is awful, Grandmaster Flash.
What? You should know
I shouted
better.
That. I shouted that.
Did he have Flash player? Bad joke. I'll move on.
Yeah, move on.
Let's go to France. Joe Cole.
Yeah,
he scored his first goal for Lille.
Joe Cole.
What a goal it was.
Where the spiders live. That's right. Right on the poster.
It was. Yeah.
Top corner. Lille have got a lovely kit as well.
Yeah, they do.
Absolutely lovely kit.
Some of the French kids are kids. Jesus, Freudian. Some of the French kits.
Some of the French. I want to kick them.
Pay for Lou advert. Some of the French kits are just really. It's hard to look at. There's just so much going on. So many sponsors, so many different colours.
So much South American in style.
Yeah.
First English player to score in the French top flight since Chrissy Waddle, 1992.
That's embarrassing.
There's a stat for you.
Yeah, have that, Tyrone Mears.
He was subbed off for 3 minutes to go, received a standing ovation.
They love
an English player playing well abroad, gentlemen.
It's lovely, isn't it? I wish he'd move out there. It makes no difference to me. But I thought he was living in London.
No,
surely not.
That was originally reported, but he came out and said, "That's rubbish. I'm taking all my family. We're moving out there. We're going to learn the language. I want to do it properly."
Brilliant.
Did you see him singing? Hear him singing? Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner.
Yeah, I did.
In front of his.
You put that on the Ramble Tube last week.
Oh, did I? Okay. Thought. Well, people who were looking at that on the footballramble.com will have seen Joe Cole singing. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner.
To his new teammates.
Oh, yeah. Good. Did they understand what was going on?
No. I don't think he was even asked to do it.
That's just what
morning, lads.
Don't Cockneys do that every morning?
Yeah. They do, yeah. They do the Lambeth walk.
I don't know. Also in France, not Spain, we've been there. I've got to say it. PSG sporting director Leonardo said he'd love it if David Beckham joined the French club after his contract expires for the Galaxies. Fenn Gorenerich will definitely endorse that move. I suppose tenuously staying in France, this year's Golden Foot Award has been announced. The winner, you remember this award, don't you, chaps? The winner will have their footprints moulded permanently on the Champions Promenade in Monaco. And this year it will be awarded to Abidi Pelé, retired Algerian footballer Rabah Magier, and Ruud Gullit, which is quite an odd one because previously it went to one person who was still playing and they have to be over the age of 29. So they're giving it to three retired players this year.
That's gutting. Like, you had an amazing career and then you were forced to retire at 28.
Forlan got it.
He would have been a shout.
I was going to say, because if he's not already got it, surely he'd be able to.
Why wouldn't you have Forlan? I mean, going on the thing, because Totti won it last year, and our previous winners are Ronaldinho, and I think Zanetti may have won it.
Did Van Basten retire at 28? I think it is. It's just missing it.
Yeah, about that age. I'm not sure if he officially did, but he was out for a long time around that sort of age. It was about that age, yeah.
I'd have fancied old D-back.
Yeah.
Yeah? But moving on again.
Yeah. Now, in Scandinavia, in Norway specifically, Jona Samuelsson scored a header inside his own half.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah,
incredible.
He didn't know that much about it, though.
To put some neck muscle into that.
Yeah, he certainly directed it. Yeah. He sort of did it with a kind of, almost with a shrug, as if to say, and...
Who scored one last season? Was it Cassano? No.
No, it was Palermo, wasn't it? Palermo, 40 yards.
Well, it's worth mentioning for the Norwegian goal that the goalkeeper had gone out for a corner. He wasn't actually in his goal. He wasn't beaten from
And it was odd watching the video as well because it was all out of context. I was just like, what's he doing there? He's surely inviting this.
And then, what's a bullet header in off the bar?
he did run to his own fans and sort of celebrate with them and give it the big one, which you would do, you know.
Of course you would.
I've never seen anyone score a goal from that far.
And the best thing was, it wasn't somebody kicking like Palermo's goal where I think the keeper smacked it basically at his head, didn't he?
Yeah, there was a lot of
and he sort of deflected it off him. Mm. It was a header into a header.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a goal kick. Yeah, it was a goal kick, and then the guy headed it back, one of the defenders, and then this guy just puts his head on it. Incredible. Yeah,
and it wasn't even like it trickled into the net, was
no.
it?
It was real power in it.
That would kill me, I'm pretty certain. Headering football hurts.
Yeah.
That guy's got a bonce on him.
That's why we play five-a-side with you.
Yeah. Yeah. No overhead height. I'm going to die.
Also in Scandinavia, Sweden, we had Helsingborgs winning the league.
The big news in Sweden, of course, is Kenny Pavey being on Twitter.
He is on Twitter now.
Yeah.
What's his Twitter name? Is it?
It's Pavester 29, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, right then, it's off to the Americas. There's been lots of trouble surrounding referees recently from the Americas. Firstly, Byron Moreno. We covered this before. He was a former Ecuadorian referee who was in charge of Italy versus South Korea in 2002. Gave some dodgy decisions. He was arrested last year on suspicion of drug smuggling. He's been sentenced to 2.5 years for heroin smuggling charges.
Didn't he have it on his strapped to his body or something at an airport?
Yeah, JFK.
It's
in,
a risk
in New York.
God, what are you taking heroin through JFK airport? Blimey!
Strapped is he an idiot?
Yourself.
Yes, he is.
Obviously, yeah.
Is he related to Jaime Moreno? Because he was an idiot.
It might be.
Yeah. Elsewhere, there were shocking scenes at the end of the Brazilian Championship match between Atletico Paranaense and Fluminense, where the referee gave a controversial penalty at the end of the game, and basically all hell broke loose. A number of Atletico fans stood in the entrance of the tunnel, which prevented the ref and the players leaving the pitch. And police needed to escort the officials off the field with one or two police pointing rifles at fans.
Super Sunday.
Yeah. Did she keep you out of Villa?
Warnock weren't happy.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Also,
that's probably what Armand Traoré was watching before he went on the field.
This one's a slightly more light-hearted one. Well, a much more light-hearted one, should I say.
What, the police pointing guns at fans? I refuse to believe it.
It's another refereeing tale from Brazil.
Did Alex Ferguson then say it was like Zulu?
It was from the Paulistão League, which I think that Juninho, formerly of Middlesbrough, I think is from that region. In a match between Worker, yep, that's the name of a team, and Mirassol, the referee sent off a player. He gives him the red card, and then the player gives the referee the slightest of headbutts, and the ref goes down.
If you, can't, you cannot headbutt a ref.
No, but exactly. He doesn't need to dive, does he?
He's
the ref. He can just send him off.
He's trying to fool himself. He's already done it.
It's a bit of a no-brainer in the back of the Telegraph or whatever. You are the ref. You have been slightly headbutted. Well, he's off then, isn't he?
No, he was already off.
But he's having two of the buggers.
Yeah, that's right. But I just love it.
He's having the Dean Windass.
But it was just glorious to see footballers moaning at the referees for going down too easily. Oh, get up, come on.
Paul Alcock style.
Yeah. The referee said, I felt my forehead grazed. Then I fell down.
Grazed.
That's what that guy who's got in the head of.
Anyway, before we leave Brazil, we must finish on a nicer story, because the former Brazilian international Romário dusted off his boots recently to take part in a charity match which was played by partially sighted players. Of course, the players not suffering from blindness.
He's scored 50,000 goals.
That's convenient for Romário.
Oh, I've scored again.
Hang on.
Going on my tally.
Watch out, spiders.
The players who don't suffer from blindness, like Romário, they wore blindfolds. For those who wanted to come and be spectators, you needed to bring a kilogram of non-perishable food to be given to the poor, which I thought was quite nice.
This is random. It's oddly like a Harvest
specific.
Festival mindfuck.
Yeah. Romário scored two goals.
Yeah.
Two goals. With a blindfold on.
He said in the press conference afterwards, I scored two goals, and anyone who said I didn't, it's a liar and can shut up, yeah?
There we go.
And someone threw a chicken at him.
Hang on a minute. Luke's gone off somewhere. Could it be to Diego Corner?
Yes, it is. Here I am.
Here we are again.
You hear me all right? Good. yes, I couldn't ignore this. Basically, there's been so much coverage of Diego's latest misdemeanour that I felt it's only fair that I gave it an outing.
Yes.
On the ramble. He was posing in front of a flag recently, given to him with the words, Grandad, I am always with you. I love you, Benja. When from behind the flag, a sort of young supporter kept trying to lift it up from behind it. Now, if you haven't seen it, the footage
it was funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
It was like a relentless sort of pecking bird.
Yeah, the footage is of the flag, and then from behind the flag, it keeps flying up because someone keeps poking it and trying to take a photo. And to be fair, there was a bit of patience that you wouldn't normally associate with El Diego, as far as he tolerated it about three times.
I'm surprised
times.
He didn't get a penknife out.
Yeah, the fourth time, he just booted him in the hand.
Yeah.
with his left.
Yeah.
And he caught him well.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to miss
it.
Oh,
he's not. Yeah, that's right.
The thing is, because he's so big, his feet just look so stubby nowadays. Yeah. I know he's always sort of quite diminutive, but oh man.
He wasn't going to use his right foot. Right. Now, this spawned, this sort of made Andre Wetzel, a technical director at rival club Al Jazeera, to call Diego a circus act. He said, "On the other hand, I'm pleased that a competing club like Al Wasser was a trainer who doesn't understand his job. He shits on everything."
He literally shits on everything.
Yeah, I think that was a metaphor, yeah. But Diego, El Diego sort of responded to that and to other things. Basically, he was responding to a question where someone asked him why they haven't kept a clean sheet since he took charge.
Well, it's because he shits on everything.
He said, "If you're scared, then don't come and watch the matches. You can stay at home and watch DVDs or some comedy series. There's nothing to be scared about in football."
The answer to a different question, isn't it?
Yeah, but he will do that. He will answer his own question.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what Diego's been up to. I'll keep you posted next week.
Yeah, excellent.
Very enjoyable.
And now it's time for Going for Glol.
I'll just go and pick it up over there, the Glol. Going for Glol. Glold.
Okay.
I have returned with the Glold.
Very good.
Gentlemen, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into this.
Let's go for the Glold.
Bloody go for this.
Stop. Is it Paolo Maldini?
No, it is not Paolo Maldini. But you know we're close.
Don't let Jim see it, because he can see
Jim.
It.
Jim.
Can't see it.
Hang on, what are the scores? I'm on two.
Are
you
on
one?
Two? I
think I'm on two.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, okay.
I'm on one and Luke's on one. Oh, Lukey.
Yeah, you don't even count because you're asking the questions in a way.
That's how bad we were. That's how bad we are at this.
Yeah.
Your first clue, Jim.
By the way, before you start, loads of listeners keep tweeting us saying, "Oh, look at that after the second clue." You don't know the pressure we're under in this environment.
Yeah, I'm completely nude and I've got a knife.
Yeah.
I'm covered in pig's blood. I'm only joking. It's cow's
blood. Yeah.
I was born in a port on the English Channel, famous for its scallops.
Stop.
Who?
Graham Lasso.
No. While I was playing in the Premier League, I had sex with a lady on a snooker table.
Oh.
I have a World Cup winner's medal.
What?
He didn't say the port was in England, did he?
Oh, yeah.
My autobiography was called Fleur de Peau.
Whoa.
Stop.
That was me.
He was Luke.
Frank LeBeuf.
No.
I was going to say that.
Were you?
Because it just seems a very LeBeuf thing to have done, doesn't it?
You'd have been wrong as well. Yeah. Brilliant.
I guess Frank LeBeuf, Fleur de Peau.
Yeah.
My squad number was always 17. I was...
Stop. Nick Anelka.
No. I was signed by Barca for £7 million.
Stop.
No.
Emmanuel Petit.
Correct, Jim.
Yes!
I was going to go on to say I experienced unbelievable debauchery on a rich Arab's yacht after winning the Premier League.
Stop, Marcus Speller.
And in July 1998, I won £17,000 worth of francs on a fruit machine in a Monte Carlo hotel.
Stop, Luke Ball.
I wish.
It's weirdly... That the pool table story rings a bell now. But
yeah,
as you say, the pressure.
Well.
Yeah. It is the pressure.
Yeah. But apparently it was like at Arsenal's training ground or something. And an Arsenal... So somebody's got a video of that from the... that's how they knew about it. They had some sort of CCTV footage of Emmanuel Petit. What an image.
If you've got
that
it.
Man. Oh, that man in full effect. Wonderful.
Slips.
Yeah.
Marcus Speller.
Yeah.
That is me, and it's time for emails.
Thank you for your
email,
lady.
Jim's got the first email.
I do. Dear Ramblers, recently you were talking about libero positions in football and how the role has fallen out of use in the modern game. We were talking about that again today, weren't we? Well, I am a Toronto FC supporter and I just wanted to let you know that Aaron Vinter has recently converted Torsten Frings into a libero for TFC. So I am proud to say there is at least one club in the modern era who are trying to revive the fabled position. Recently we won 2-1 with Frings both anchoring the defence and starting the attacks, pushing forward into the midfield and then dropping back. It was a truly marvellous performance from the German and I think that Vinter will continue to employ Frings in this role. All the best, Alan from Canada.
Good. Bring it back.
Do you know what I was thinking about that? David Luiz is actually the closest thing.
Yeah, David Luiz plays like that.
What,
but
he just goes on raid. He's not really, he's not really responsible.
Yeah, that's why I said the closest thing.
For me, one of the hallmarks of the sort of classic libero is always being there to pick the ball up from the goalkeeper and starting the attack. Yeah. Louise is more bombing on, isn't
he? You got Louise, Vermaelen, Phil Jones as
Phil
well.
Phil Jones does that, yeah.
Just forward thinking centre backs, but it's not the same, is it?
Well, it's hoping that other teams follow Toronto's lead and we start seeing liberos cropping up all over the world.
Oh.
Like a zombie invasion of ball playing sweepers.
Seems unlikely.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we can but hope.
What kind of zombie bit, do we?
Pete, have you got an email?
I have got an email, but first I forgot to say thank you to Eric Alley. Or rather, he should really be saying thank you to us, because he is the man who plays, like, he's like the DJ at Portland Timbers, obviously, of the MLS.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, they play the Ramble theme tune, don't they?
They play the Ramble theme tune, the Milk and Honey track, before every single match. And
they've won 12 and drawn 1, I think?
Yeah, so they're unbeaten.
I'm delighted with this.
How good is that?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's the closest we'll ever get to footballing success, let's be honest.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
My lords, ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. Now, this week is Paul Jewell's birthday. But that's not why we're here. All right? Because someone else has a birthday this week, don't they, Jim?
Loads of people will.
Get on that, Beamer.
Yeah.
More specifically, Roma's greatest ever player, Francesco Totti.
Hey.
Don't hijack it.
I'm only joking. Francesco Totti, eh?
There you go. Born on the 27th of September. 1976.
9 years after the summer of love.
After that summer.
Yeah.
Roma's greatest ever player. Are we happy with that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Definitely.
Good. Then we can continue. He does hold the records for the most appearances and most goals for Roma. So shove that up your watsits for starters.
With a rusty one.
Exactly. His nicknames include the Golden Boy, the Big Baby.
Is that because he always sucks his thumb when he scores?
Yeah, maybe. Was that a reaction to it?
Who knows? Do you remember? I don't want to jump the gun too much, but when he scored after his baby was born and he put the football up his shirt and gave birth to it and held it up.
Yeah.
Up there, I'm going to stick my neck out here and say top five celebrations of all time.
Yeah.
The placenta was a bit much, though, to be fair. Well, I don't even know where he got that from.
He held it for ages in a jar.
We can skip that bit now when we come to it. the Gladiator as well is another.
Oh, nice.
But that, standards there from Rome and all the rest of it. The David Beckham of Italy.
Any excuse to shoehorn it in. Any excuse.
Getting weird.
What do you reckon?
I am the David Beckham of B-Jam. Just stack those fucking boxes, Paul, alright?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Now, people often ask footballers, what would you be if you weren't a footballer? Well, Totti was asked this by journalist James Horncastle, and he said, if I hadn't have been a footballer, I would have liked to have become a petrol pump assistant. When I was little, it was wonderful to smell the petrol fumes and see those guys handle so much money.
Just buy a can of petrol.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, he had a bit more ambition than talent.
You almost certainly earn more now than you would have done
had
you become a petrol pump assistant.
Can you get drug tested for huffing petrol?
He's saying it like he's looking forward to doing that when he retires.
Yeah.
Like he's aspiring to that.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that's to settle for being a footballer.
Yeah. No, it's just a stopgap. It's not really a career. I really want to be a petrol pump assistant.
Yeah.
Glow sniffer.
Yeah.
As a child, he slept with the ball, apparently.
How do footballers do that? Like John Burridge.
John Burridge, he used to, apparently. That perhaps the only place where the two are comparable. anyway, so Totti joined the youth set up at Roma in 1989. Apparently Milan offered him a lucrative contract around this time, but his mother said, no, you're playing for your local team, your hometown.
Yeah.
Which fortunately was Roma. And thus Totti didn't go up north to the Rossoneri. In 1993
up north to Milan.
Down the mill
to Milan.
Yeah, liking your work?
Yeah, it works.
1993 made his Roma debut aged 16. Scored his first senior goal for the club in 94.
Gosh, it's like an awful long time ago now.
Now, after he scored his first goal for Roma, he said he had dreamt many times of that moment and trying to come up with a way to celebrate. And he said, instead, after I scored, I didn't know what to do. When I got home, the only thing I could think about was being hungry. So I went out with my brother and got an ice cream.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
is that
really nice?
It sort of reminds me of when Rooney scored his first goal for Everton and then went out and celebrated by going to play with his mates on his BMX.
Yeah.
Because he was only like 16.
Yeah. It's
quality,
isn't it?
Isn't his brother, he's got a twin brother, isn't he? That's also his agent, I think.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, right, I didn't know that.
Oh, speaking of which, I totally forgot this. I used to play Guildford Saints in Surrey, and we had a lad on our team.
It's not your profile.
Hang on a minute.
Guildford Saints!
Which was our theme tune. And the lad who used to play fullback was Totti's stunt double for all the adverts.
Was he a good player?
Yeah, he was quite decent. But he used to go all over the
world. You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
All over the world. Totti's stunt double.
Good.
I feel like I met the man. he was predominantly a striker, or a sort of a second striker, but also kind of an attacking midfield player. But his position changed over the years, I think we can agree.
Yeah. But I think even now, Totti, it's not that his position changed as much, it's that he can change it at will. You know, he's just really good in a lot of different positions.
Yeah, exactly.
And the game changed, so he had to adapt, though.
Well, Marcello Lippi said that there's no alternatives for Totti. No one else can play Totti's position.
Well, yeah, it's difficult to... I mean, because, like you say, he is a slightly different player now to what he was. But, I mean, those sort of players are being sort of phased out anyway, haven't they? In Europe, they have, anyway, to a certain extent.
Not the big man.
No, true, yeah.
35, still going strong.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, though. I mean, He's played out on the wing, sometimes up front on his own, second striker, but it shows he's very tactically aware.
Even as a second striker, he'll come and get the ball.
Yeah.
He'll still be bringing other people
utility man.
I think people think that he's quite a lazy player at times, but actually he's vital. He's not a luxury player.
No, well, the classic example of him being a team player is in World Cup 2006.
Yeah.
Well, he scored one goal, I think.
That was a penalty.
But he didn't do an awful lot. But he really worked hard for the team.
I think he had the most assists at that World Cup. So it just bears that out.
Yeah. When he booted Balotelli in the back of the leg.
Classic.
That was a bad moment in the man's career. Good moment in his career, 1999, he scored a late winner in the Rome Derby. And he celebrated by lifting up his shirt with a T-shirt under it, which said, I've purged you guys again.
Nice.
So I think it's quite nice.
Which would have endeared him immediately to the Roma fans.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, you mentioned the pregnant celebration.
Yeah.
He was named Young Player of the Season in 1998-99. But I suppose it was Euro 2000 that we got to see him on the big stage and the world got to see what a great player he was.
He sums up sort of post-football Italian football for me.
Yeah.
Post-James Richardson. PJR.
Yeah.
Good word, Matt.
Okay. I'll continue. Obviously, Italy finished second at that World Cup. He scored a couple en route to the final. Do you remember the penalty shootout against Holland in the semi-final? When I think it was the decisive kick. Massive pressure in the Ajax Arena.
Little dinker.
Yeah. That's outrageous.
But he did that again and it got saved.
Did
remember?
He?
Yeah, he did it. I can't remember who he was. Yeah. And he tried the dinker, and the keeper knew exactly what he was doing, and he just stood there and caught it in his hand.
First rule of dink is for the dinko penalty. The first rule is have a massive pair of bollocks. The second rule is never go back, never do it again.
Yeah. He does love a chip in general, though, doesn't he, Totti?
Well,
he does,
the chip he scored against Lazio when they hammered him 5. Mm. I think it was the last goal of the game.
Glorious.
Didn't someone score 4 in that game? I want to say Montella, but I might be wrong. But anyway, he scored the 5th, and the keeper was well off his line. He's about 30 yards out. Chip.
Boy, Philippe Albert was applauding that one.
Yeah, he had something on his T-shirt then as well, but I can't remember what it was.
Hey, yours. Are you watching Philippe Albert?
Yeah.
In the final, he was man of the match against France. I totally forgot that, actually. But, that was when we saw him. Great hair.
Oh, yeah, wonderful.
Throughout his career, really. Yeah. Throughout his career. During the 2000-2001 season, Capello built the team around Totti, and they won the league. They only won the league once with Roma, but incredible achievement, really. Mm. Considering how that country's been dominated by Milan. And
can I interest you in a front three of Batistuta, Montella, with Totti just behind?
I'm interested.
Yeah. Batistuta, they signed him for loads of money, and he brought them the title. He scored like 20 goals that season, Batistuta. But they... Did they beat Inter 3-2 in an amazing game that season as well? But it's worth pointing out, although he's only won one Scudetto with Roma, he has actually finished runner-up 6 times.
He has, yeah.
So he's not as though he's...
But I'm so glad that they've won it, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's the equivalent... He's almost the equivalent of Steven Gerrard in Italy, you know, that real one-club man who's determined to win it with his team, except Totti did it, you know?
Yeah.
And even that he's not done it again, that's so good that he has that dual sort of crown of his career.
The only difference with that, though, is that Liverpool obviously won an awful lot of titles. Roma haven't won that many in their history.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they've won the sort of Coppa Italia once or twice with him. But it's interesting what you say, Jimbo, about him being a one sort of show man. I mean, Totti, he's been a world class player for Roma for years, and you know, he had the chance to go to Real Madrid or maybe Milan as well, where he would have won more things, played with greater players. But he stayed at Roma, and they've not had too many world class players. There were some brilliant players, but he's been so important to that team.
I was trying to think of other players they've had that would be genuinely be seen as world class over the years, playing alongside Totti. The only players I could think of were Cafu,
Batistuta.
Batistuta, he was only there for a year.
Yeah, he was.
Aldair, remember him?
Well, they retired the number six jersey for
Aldair, have they? And who else was I going to say?
Baptista?
De Rossi. De Rossi, oh, De Rossi more recently, but I mean, he's not really, you know, he's probably not up there with those lot, you know. But there's no doubt in my mind, if Totti had gone to, you know, whatever, Madrid or something, yeah, he would be absolutely heralded completely.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Well, I mean, you look at his status with the national team, and he's heralded anyway.
You know, remember, he was touting himself for the squad last summer,
yeah, wasn't
he? Hadn't bothered helping out of any of the qualifications. Yeah. I still fancy it, though. I still fancy it, Lippy, if you're interested.
Yeah, that would have been superb.
Just the final.
Yeah, I've just gone for the final, yeah.
I'll take a penalty.
Yeah. I'll chip it and all.
Yeah. So, as we said earlier, he played as a second striker for a long time, but then under Luciano Spalletti, he kind of deployed Totti as a lone striker, kind of like, I suppose, like a false nine kind of position.
This is the season when they didn't really play any strikers.
Like 4-6-0. Mm. Yeah. But he was like the furthest man up the field. But that's, oddly enough, in 2007, he finished as Serie A's top goal scorer in that formation, and the European Golden Shoe as well.
I was reading...
That's ridiculous.
It's great, yeah. It's great. I was reading what Michael Cox was remarking, I had to say, about Totti. And he pointed out, you know, rightly, that, you know, that season, that's the season they lost 7-1 to United
in
the Champions League. But it's also the season they beat Inter 6-2 in the Cup final. Mm. So it was like this amazing formation with just all these ridiculous scorelines. Because apparently it can be undone. That formation can... Spalletti, I think, found out that formation can be undone quite easily,
yeah,
if you defend very deep or whatever and you can pick them off. Mm. But Totti would almost drop really deep to get the ball and make those late runs into the box, wouldn't they? I remember he scored quite a few goals in that way.
But they were really exciting that season. They were an unusual side for Italian football. They were very direct, very, very attacking and just sort of...
Yeah, they played
the flair.
Beautiful football, yeah, absolutely. He's currently the Serie A's top goal scorer, still active goal scorer, fifth all time in the league history with 207 goals. Again, for a guy who's not played as a kind of a proper striker. Yeah.
Do you reckon if he had played as a proper striker for his whole career, he'd be amazing?
It's hard to say, isn't it?
Because he probably wouldn't have been lauded quite so much as well.
Would just be a goal scorer. Yeah.
Well, but that's the player he is. You know, he's learnt how to play in various positions. I'm sure that would have kind of broadened his tactical horizons, shall we say.
You'll come on to him winning the World Cup in a minute, but in 2002,
yeah,
would he have been sent off by that referee?
He was.
Yes, it was
Ecuadorian
him, yeah,
referee.
Yeah.
In the game
in
against
the
South Korea.
Game, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, interesting.
Indeed. So, yes, of course, 2006 World Cup.
Don't forget him spitting at Christian Poulsen in Euro 2004 as well.
Yeah, he's a bit of a hothead, Totti. I mean, he's very much calmed down as he's got older, as people do. But, yeah. Hasn't he got a couple of joke books out?
He has,
something
yeah.
Really
that was
weird like that.
Well, he's a goodwill ambassador for UNICEF. Does a lot of work with them. And there was two big selling joke books that a lot of the proceeds went to UNICEF and charities and whatnot. And they were jokes sort of about, I don't know if they were about his teammates or from his teammates or something, but it's an odd one. Very odd one.
I find it, I mean, because we're notoriously, especially us around this table, we can all only speak one language. So it's difficult to imagine people who speak another language as being like, it's hard to gauge what their sense of humour is like.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and I sort of always think of Totti as being quite a serious bloke.
Yeah.
And takes a very, very seriously.
Very dignified man. Yeah.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Well,
so it's
knowing it is Europe and it is Italy, it's probably incredibly right wing.
Yeah. No, Rome, well, no, Lazio are the right wing club in Rome. Rome haven't got a reputation for that at all.
Nazi,
come on, leave them out of
come
it.
On. Hey.
Berlusconi, come
but
on.
Yeah. No, he did 2006 World Cup, of course, fantastic scenes. And he started, I think, every game.
Yeah, I remember him getting subbed off after about an hour in the final, though.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He came off for Quinta or might have been De Rossi, actually.
His work was done.
But he played in the playmaker. They used like a 4-3-1-2 or like a 4-4-1-1. Totti played sort of as a playmaker role. But he only scored one goal. But the goal he did score was the penalty, as you said,
against Australia.
But he put the ball in for Grosso to win that penalty, which, okay, probably wasn't a penalty, but it was a great pass and Grosso beat the fullback and got brought down. And Totti stepped up. 95th minute as well in a knockout game in the World Cup. You know, didn't ding that one, did he? No, he rifled it.
Indeed, and then as we mentioned earlier, in 2010 he won the Golden Foot Award, so his footprints will forever be on the Champions Promenade in Monaco.
He was named in the team of the tournament in World Cup 2006.
Oh yeah,
you know, as a midfielder, you know.
Very much so, and I'll leave the last words to Daniel De Rossi, the teammate of Totti. He says, Totti is a treasure for Roma. He is the greatest player of all time after Roberto Baggio. Slightly biased, but
yeah.
In comes Francesco Totti. Well, there we are, peeps. That's the end of the Football Ramble this week. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. And the website, thefootballramble.com, is where James or Jim can be found.
Yes, well, we can all be found there. It's got loads of stuff on it. And this week, the blog features Andy Brassel on a big old mess at Inter, James Appel on the Russian referee who faced homophobia despite not even being gay, and there's Dermot Corrigan on some on how some Barcelona fans are opposed to their new sponsorship deal with the Qatari Foundation and are making themselves heard. And there are loads more blogs on that, as well as minute-by-minute reports, a chance to win Spondoolies with Pick Live, the Dean Windass Hall of Fame, and the Forum, which features threads on time travel, Battle of the Bands, and a Liability 11. There's all kinds of stuff. Luke.
Last week, we talked about the Forum, and we talked about the pun thread.
Yeah.
And I said I'd come back to you with a pun.
Lauded with puns.
Yeah, well, this is a great... If you remember a while ago, someone rang into Danny Baker's radio show and did a pun, or sort of player's names for the whole of Bohemian Rhapsody. Well, the legendary... One Flow Ever, the Cuckoo's Nester.
Beautiful.
Amazing.
Yeah, did one to Deck the Halls with Bells of Holly, which I'll do my best to sing to you. It goes, Beck the Hall with Bells of Bolly, shabba la 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 lass.
Good.
Letis the Seaman, Bebe Jolie, shabba la 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 lass. Dong we lao, gain a pal, shabba la 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 lass. Pole the Nugent, you'll hide Carol, shabba la 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 lass. Well done, you won't flow over the Cuckoo's Nest.
That is the Nugent.
Good work.
You're not allowed to use
Nugent's
that.
Nugent's in there, and yes, that is why I chose it.
Marvellous stuff. Pete, have you got anything?
I'm really surprised that you used the word peeps earlier on. And also, if you go to thefootballramble.com, you can have a game of Pick Live. It's our live fantasy football league game where you can play while the matches are going on your Super Sundays.
Did you do well in the big game recently, Marcus?
I did a little while ago, yeah, I won one. Top of the chop.
How much did you win?
I'm retired.
And I think just before every weekend, we have a little bit of a preview for a couple of the matches that are coming up that you can play in and stuff on the website, so check them out if you can.
So not only are we giving you live fantasy football to play with your mates for cash, if you know about football, we're also giving you a blog that you can read on thefootballramble.com with tips on how to win that cash. We're taking you to water. All you've got to do is drink. And the water is money.
Yeah.
It works.
You go through money
horses.
And before I say goodbye to everybody, congratulations to top brass Andy Brassel, who's now a father.
Yeah.
Yay.
Oh my goodness.
Him and his wife, the lovely Michelle, giving birth to a son called Gabriel. I'm hoping he's named after Gabriel Batistuta, but I haven't confirmed that yet.
Obertan.
Yeah.
What, can we call him Gabriel Brassistuta from
now
on?
Okay.
Nice, nice. Like it. Right, say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Laters.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
See you next time, people.
Per Tonetto, lo stop a seguire Tonetto, avanza, palla al piede, lo scambia ancora con Amantino, lancio di Amantino per il capitano, ecco il capitano era di rigore, Totti dietro!
Do you know what Jim said when you were in the room, Luke?
What?
That his granddad used to be a Mountie, and he stopped being a Mountie because his horse kept biting him.
Yeah, Jim. That means it also means that Jim is related to Beck, the artist Beck, as well. Mm. That's true.
And, really?
Yeah. And Malcolm Tucker stole
your
pen.
That's your theory.
Yeah. Alistair Campbell stole my pen, and my granddad, obviously his surname is Campbell. Beck's real surname is Campbell. My granddad was in Canada. Clearly, so I had another family, secret one. Kept the name, Beck's Canadian.
So I would probably go Beck, Jim Campbell, Alistair Campbell.
That's fair enough. I'm not getting near Beck.
Yeah.
Although he is a Scientologist.
Jim's top
think?
For me, actually.
Nah. Due south, that's the way I'm going, due south.
Sea Change is a great album, which I can't compete with.
Round the bend.
Jim's got...
I've got it. Preparation.
Jim's got
Baby,
the
it's a lost cause.
What are you singing? I'm singing
Beck
the same tune to Due South.
Beck songs are
come on.
Remember
forgot
the
about Due
program.
South, yeah.
That's the way I'm going, Due South.
Jim's
if you thought you were making your way to where the puzzles and pagans lay, we'll put it together. It's a strange invitation.
Your own link.
You've got to do it. It's how it works.
It's how it works.
But we're not going to let you.
Oh, that was horrible.
Yeah.
Jim's
where it's at. I go. had two turntables and a microphone. Where is that?
I had that song in my head in a McDonald's once, and I'm very, very, yeah, cheers for that. Thanks for stepping on the punchline, you prick.
What did he say?
I very nearly ordered two cheeseburgers and a microphone.
Okay.
Just sort of nearly came out of my
head. Why did you buy two cheeseburgers, you fat pig?
I was hungry. Well, I wasn't. I was confused. God, do you link?
Yeah.
Jim's
I want to survive. The logic of
I'm
our sex law.
So why don't you kill me?
I'll let you be my something, something at the halfway house.
That's a
I'm
song.
A fully grown man,
yeah,
but I'm
tune.
Not afraid to cry.
Jack Black's in the video. Jim's got the first
My
beat.
Son, I go. Hey.
Good one.
My son, I go.
What's that
Come on
we
now.
Did?
Come on now.
That really good cover.
Yeah, in the Broken Flower soundtrack, wasn't
I'm
it?
I'm starting
yeah.
to run out of
Jeff
songs.
Beck song?
Give me the pen.
No.
Go on.
I need to
no.
amend the
Come on,
profile.
Just get in there.
You surely never cover a Jeff Beck song, too. That would be too close.
I've still needed it in your own blood.
He was sitting like that. Come on, Marcus.
It's so unfair.
Get on with it. I'm ready.
No, you're not. This
I
is
am.
An ambush.
I am ready.
This is an ambush.
Jim's got the first email.
Dear Ramblers, she's alone in the new pollution.
Yes, Jim. I've heard
she's
that one.
A little
he's done you there. He's done you.
He isn't. He's done himself. I've done my bit. I'm clear.
He's done me because usually I just do edit. Now I've got a jump in the middle. Of a load of it, a load of Beck songs.
Come on, Jimbo.
Okay.
Look at his little face. How can you let that down, eh?
Jim's got the first email.
Dear Ramblers.
Devil's haircut in my mind.
He's written a lot of good songs.
Yeah, hasn't he? That's
really good. Yeah.
Have that
We're not gonna let you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.